Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
This is a pre-recorded show because our guest has a schedule for next week. Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And folks, man, this is going to be another wonderful, great conversation. I'm hoping that it's going to trigger you to join this conversation today. So if you want to join this conversation today, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. Because there's some things that I want to unpack today and get your thoughts on. You know, I can have my own perspective and, you know, a handful of folks that can call in may even have their own perspective. But until we actually hear from the masses, or hey, just a large number of you, then that's all that is our views, our thoughts on what we believe is really and truly going on out there. Now, we may have just ran into a unique situation where things just worked out to our favor, or things may have went in a different direction. But what I want to do today, I want to hear from you. You the parent, you the one that's, hey, having to drive your child from point A to point B, you know, and in doing so, you know, what are your thoughts on it? When you're looking at selecting a non-scholastic off-season program, why did you select that particular program? That's what I want to know. And when you selected that program, was there some factors that caused you to say, hey, this program may be the right one for my child, or may not be the right one for my child? So what I want to know today, parents, is what is your thoughts on selecting a non-scholastic off-season program for your athlete? And the only way I'll know that is if you call in and join the conversation today and we can talk about some things. You know, throughout the week, I posted some information that I received from the NCAA this past week in reference to some updates. And I'm going to share some of that information with you today. But one of the things that I want to highlight is I put information up there pertaining to Division II programs. Because oftentimes, for whatever strange reason or not, our athletes only gravitate towards Division I programs. And, you know, one of the reasons I believe they gravitate towards Division I programs is because the simple fact that the Division I programs are highlighted day in and day out. You probably can turn on your TV right now, and there's probably a Division I competition that just started or that's about to start within the next few minutes or so. So that's in your face. The Division I programs are in your face constantly, especially basketball season is kicking off. We just had football season right in the middle of the football season. Football season is starting to wind down. So now what? You're seeing these Division I programs throughout the week, throughout the weekend. What about Division II programs? Is that something that your child has even considered? If so, hey, great. If not, why not? Why not? What's wrong with a Division II program? You know, I share with parents all the time, the only thing different between a Division I program and a Division III program. Now, notice that I jumped over two and went all the way down to a Division III program. The major difference in the athletes at those two programs, the majority of the time, the major difference is size. Because you may have some of the baddest athletes down in the Division III program, but they don't fit that stereotypical type of a pro-style type body, or they don't fit some coach's scheme. You know, if a coach only looks at point guards that's 6 feet and above, and your athlete is all state 2-3 years running, but he's only 5'8", 5'7", 5'8", then there's a great possibility that your child may not make that coach's roster or that coach's list. And when I talk about making that coach's list, I'm going to share something with you this afternoon that, you know, I think we also missed out on as well. And I'm going to throw an acronym out there. No, I'm just going to throw some letters because it's not really an acronym because it doesn't form a particular word. But I'm going to throw some letters out there. IRL. What is an IRL? I know we heard of a NIL. I know we heard of a NLI. I know we heard of a SAT. We heard of a ACT. But what is a IRL? I'm going to let you ponder that thought for a minute while we bring up my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He put that piece together for us here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network some years ago. And, hey, I've been running it faithfully because that closing line that he drops off with, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's the mentality and that's the attitude that I think our athletes should have. It's okay to be smart. For real. But folks, I was talking about something and I threw something out at you and wanted to know what did you know about it? And if you knew anything about it, please, by all means, call in and give us your insight. I threw out the letters IRL. IRL. Hit us up. 516-453-9932. What is an IRL? I didn't say NLI. I didn't say NIL. I didn't say SAT. I didn't say ACT. I said IRL. I'm going to leave that pondering, rolling around in your head for a minute, you know, and hopefully somebody will come up with the answer. But I need to know. I need to know, folks. I need to know. But, you know, I, like I said, I started talking about Division One programs, but I said I wanted to place a little bit more emphasis on the Division Two programs because far too often we miss out on opportunities because we overlook a chance to go to, and I'm talking about our athletes. They overlook a chance to go to a Division II program because the Division II program, they don't see the bells and whistles. You know, there's nobody sexy, just trying to, you know, knock the doors down. You know, they'll go to a low mid-major or low Division I program. Excuse me, before they even consider a Division II, and when you say a Division III for them, you know, in a lot of cases, many athletes, and I don't know why, you know, if you know why, please, by all means, share the information with us why athletes just try to stay away from Division III programs. And NAIA programs as well, who also have a Division 1, 2, and 3. Wow. Okay, but my question out there for right now is, what is an IRL? What is an IRL, parents? Call in. Let us know, 516-453-9932. Let's talk about this Division 2. What makes a Division 2 qualifier? You know, some of the subjects that they have to be involved in, 3 years of English, 2 years of math at Algebra 1 or higher, 2 years of natural or physical science, including 1 year of a lab if offered at your particular school, 3 years of additional courses and additional courses in English, math, physical, or natural science, 2 years of social science, 4 years of additional courses in any area, foreign language, comparative religion, / philosophy. Now, one thing that the NCAA wanted to make sure that they made perfectly clear, that when we talk about this comparative religion / philosophy, you have to understand that, you know, they're talking about a course that may offer a comparison, but far too often we miss out on that because we don't think that that's a good course for us, so we stay away from it, we shy away from it. That information was put out this weekend by a organization called Parchment. They hosted an NCAA forum. We had one of the directors from the NCAA come on and share some good information with us. Now, when I'm talking about a Division II qualifier, I will also want to make sure that I stress this point. Student athletes that do not meet the Division II qualifier standards will be deemed partial qualifiers. If you don't meet Division II standards, you will be deemed partial qualifier. Because at one point in time, if you didn't meet the Division II standards, then that means that you weren't going to qualify. That means that you was a non-qualifier. That has since then went out the window. And they now identify you as a partial qualifier. Again, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. One thing that I did have a chance to do this past week, I placed up on the Parents Coaching Parents Network page on Facebook a QR code. And if you took a look at the QR code right smack in the middle of it said the NCAA. Again, this was shared through Parchment's webinar that they hosted this past week. It says Division II Academic Requirements. You can scan that QR code with your phone or your electronic device that you use, and it will pull up a brochure for the Division II Academic Requirements. So you have it readily available right there in front of you. I also posted the one for Division I, but I wanted to make sure and I wanted to stress the point of the Division II Academic Requirements as well. Because don't let your child miss out on an opportunity to get that education because he or she don't want to go to a Division II program. No, no. Hey, if your talent is going to lead you to bigger and better things, then the talent will lead you there. Share that with your athletes, parents. Share it. Share it with your athletes. And if you don't have an athlete and you just want to just join the conversation, whatever, hey, share it with anybody that you know that may have a question in reference to, well, should I go to a Division I program or should I go to a Division II program? Or should I go to a Division III? You know, if you don't have to attend a JUCO, then don't. You know, that junior college route is because you didn't make it academically, and now you're trying to pick up a couple of extra credits so you can possibly move up to a Division I program. Division I ain't, coaches, they look for and they know who they're scouting earlier on. For you to start shopping and marketing yourself and pushing yourself in that direction, once you send that coach that information and you get very little reply, coach probably has somebody else lined up. That's just the way the game is. But one of the things that I also picked up out of this NCAA seminar webinar that happened this past week is standardized testing. There's a conversation going on around standardized testing. Now, as I think about this conversation, you know, I can only think back of many, many years ago when some of the legends in college basketball had this very same discussion. And when I'm talking about the legend, I'm talking about Coach John Thompson and Coach John Chaney had this discussion in reference to standardized testing. Yes, I'm talking about your ACT and your SAT. And they thought it was bias at that time. But, of course, that was just their thoughts. But they made it publicly known. And now the conversation is back on the table. Here's the interesting part. Because of this pandemic that plagued us throughout the year of 2020, the standardized testing has been taken off the table. And rightfully so. rightfully so, because those athletes that probably would have had a chance to get some tutoring and all these various things, you know, all that stuff was kind of sort of put on hold. And, you know, they probably didn't want to do a whole lot of tutoring, you know, via online, because you had to get your books, you had to do that. You know, it's a whole lot different when you're having somebody working with you right there for that particular hour, focused on just watching everything that you do and able to see where you made your mistake right away, instead of you having to send it to them and then they send it back to you, or, you know, you trying to post it up on online or whatever, and then it gets kicked back to wherever. Hey, that's that. But the NCAA put out this week, and it's been floating around for a while, so you should already have this information, but I'm going to read to you what they put out there. Standardized test scores. Standardized test scores are excluded, not included, excluded from NCAA initial eligibility criteria for students who initially enroll full-time in an NCAA school during 2021-22 and 22-23 academic school year. Let me state that one more time. Standardized test scores are excluded from initial eligibility criteria for students who initially enroll full-time in an NCAA school during 2021-22 or 2022-23 academic year. That is part of the NCAA's exclusion. I need you to hear me. I need you to really hear what I'm getting ready to say. That does not stop the institutions from saying that they are still requiring the standardized tests. Understand that the admissions department can still require that your child standardized tests, although the NCAA said for their initial eligibility, if your child is involved in sports, have been excluded starting now all the way through to 2023. But if the institution decides to say, no, we need to see your standardized test scores, then that standardized test, you will have to go out and take it. Now, there has also been a task force that has been formed to study and look at the big picture of the standardized tests and see whether or not they're going to stay in play or they're going to be removed. Basically, what I just said a second ago, as far as what John Chaney and John Thompson talked about years ago. That sounds wonderful, because that test score is going to be reviewed to the point of saying, hey, well, should we move forward with this or should this be excluded? Folks, once again, hey, these are some vital things that we need to know, we need to be on top of. If your child can get into the school and the institution is not requiring standardized tests, then you keep on moving. Move forward. Push forward. Don't let that say, okay, well, you're going to take it anywhere. No, don't shake them up like that, parents. Don't shake them up like that. Push forward. Let them go ahead and get a chance to take this test. And let them go from there. Please do that for me. Do that for me. Because you know, many of our children need every opportunity just to get their foot in the door as possible. And I'm not saying that to say that there's anything wrong with our children. No, I'm not saying that by no means. I'm saying that that motivation, you know, that one less thing that they have to deal with in a lot of cases, that's just that motivational piece that drives them to become the great person that you have created some years ago. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I am saying. You know, they had a nice conversation, this webinar that I attended this week. You know, there were some other great things that were shared. And once again, my hat goes off to Parchment, the company, and they put this information together so that, you know, hey, a handful of us that was able to join the call got on and picked up some updates on what's going on as far as standardized tests and, you know, other little things and where we can get some additional information and what some of the things that NCAA is moving forward on. You know, once again, the question did come up about NIL, name, image, and likeness, and the NCAA's thoughts on that currently is if the institution doesn't have anything, then, and I'm finding this kind of tricky, if the institution doesn't have anything, then you are to abide by the laws or policies of your respective state. Well, I guess my question to the NCAA is, what if that institution is not in that particular state? Then what? Then what? And I posted that question trying to get an answer, and I didn't get anything from, you know, they didn't read my question pertaining to that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to reach out to somebody and see if we can get somebody to answer that question for us. Well, folks, I talked enough about what the NCAA has going on and, you know, the institutions and things that's going on with them and their requirements and what has been excluded, you know, during the time of this pandemic. But again, although I said the standardized test has been excluded, remember that the institution can require it. The institution can require it. So don't put that on the back burner and say, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about it, because if the institution is requiring it, then your child has to take that test. You know, we're going to step away for a hot second, but when we come back from this break, I want to talk about selecting an off-season non-scholastic program for your child. Let me run that by you one more time. Selecting an off-season non-scholastic program for your child. You know, during the time that their regular school season isn't in play, how do you go about? And I need your take on it, because I can say what I have done, but that's not the end-all, be-all. That's not the only way things are getting done. You know, you may have your own way of going about selecting that program. But I want to know. Give us a call, 516-453-9932. All right? But we're going to step away for a hot second, and we'll be right back here on the Parents Coach Parents Network.
I need it!
Hey, Sean! Let's go show, Dallas!
Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hello, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with the Rams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John B. Lopez.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, help you and elevate. Parents, coaching, parents, know the game.
Hey, we're back. Yes, you have to guide, assist, mentor, and elevate or educate. That's what we do here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network. We guide, assist, mentor, and educate or elevate the next generation of parents because their child is involved in sports, and we want to make sure that they get the best out of that situation each and every time, each and every opportunity that they may have. So without a doubt, we have to do what we do because our motto is help us help you. Again, folks, you want to join in on the conversation here, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. We talked a little bit about NCAA updates and some of the things that I picked up out of a webinar that I attended this past week. But I want to change gears just a little bit and shift into talking about selecting a off-season, non-scholastic program for your child. An off-season, non-scholastic program. And what triggered me to think about this was I was listening to the Sports Edge this morning, which is a awesome show that comes out of WFAM, hosted by a friend of mine by the name of Coach Rick Wolf. And he had a similar conversation going on. And I said, wow, okay, well, you know, his primary focus oftentimes is around baseball, and you know, a few folks called in that talked about some basketball a little bit, but wasn't to the extent and to the detail that you and I may talk about it. And I heard very little in reference to football. You know, I heard baseball. I didn't even hear a whole lot dealing with volleyball, which is actually the second biggest sport in the AAU circle, you know, is volleyball. So, parents, what are some of the criteria that you put in place when you are looking for a non-scholastic program for your child? Now, like I said, I can sit here and throw out a bunch of things and just say, hey, this is what I do, this is what I have done, so on and so forth. But I want to hear from you. When you're looking for a non-scholastic program, a program that is not associated with their school, you're looking for this program for your child. Now, it may be in the same sport or it may be in a different sport. But the one I want to talk about is, if it's in the very same sport that your child likes to focus on. And we can use basketball as the greatest example. Because I'm going to tell you, from my perspective, one of the things I think about basketball, and I've seen so many folks go out there and dive right in, jump right in, you know, head first, you know, and they're all into it. I got it. Understand it. You know, in some cases, if need be, I even may support it. Because if that's what your child needs to do to help him or her focus, then by all means, do what you do. But what I want to talk about is when you're selecting this program or when you're considering selecting this program, do you place any criteria in place? Does the program have to have a winning record? You know, some people say, okay, well, I'm only going to put my child on a team with a program that has a winning record. Is that a factor for you? Does the program have to have a notable coach? Some guy that's been out there for a number of years that have been coaching children, you know, and hey, folks know him in the area. And he's always had a team, or she's always had a team. Does the program have to offer any other incentives, gear? You know, do they give out gym bags with slides in them, or do they give out gym bags with headbands and shoes in them? Do they give out gym bags with sweatsuits in them? Or is it a program that you have to pay an exorbitant amount to be a part of? And they've titled the program Elite. Now, when I ask this question, I'm talking about this non-scholastic program. You know, I think that this coach is probably only going to interact with your child, you know, probably for that year or two or whatever. Or this coach may be around your child for a few years because he may decide to put together a group that he sticks with and move up in age groups as they move up. So if he started with this group when they were considered 8Us, and now here years later, they're now considered 11U, and he's still working with that same program or the same core group of athletes, if that's what you're looking for. That may be a win-win situation for you and your child. So, what is the criteria for you, parent, as your child looks for and you look for a non-scholastic program? Now, here's something that I want to put out there, and I put that in the description. This is a decision that we as parents have to make. We as parents have to make this decision because far too often your child may just want to be on this particular team because he has two or three friends on that team, or she has two or three friends on that team. But that may not be the best fit for your athlete. And what I mean by that may not be the best fit, they may not have any skill development that they work on. Your child may be joining a team, and I said let's use basketball as a reference. Your child may be joining this team, and there's already 5 other kids that play your child's position. So now what? How do we balance all that? How do we look at that from the perspective of, is this the best fit for my son or my daughter? But we are the ones that should be able to make that decision and convincing your son and daughter that, hey, this is in the best interest of them. This is where you start that dialogue. This is where you break down those walls and you open that line of communication. And you paint that perfect picture. Not, I shouldn't say perfect picture because I can't roll with that. You paint that clear picture of how all this, how all of these pieces can come together. And at the end of the day, they reach their own personal level of success. And understanding at the same time, you know, joining a team because you got a group of friends on there and you're fifth or sixth in the depth chart, that may not be a good fit because you're going to just watch the game. You are basically going to be going just to sit on the sideline and watch the game with the coach. And the coach may decide to take the advantage of your child and start using your child as a manager, but have your child dressed up, dressed out, have all the gear that everyone else has, but they run around collecting uniforms. They're getting the balls at the end of the shoot around. Nah, come on now. That is not a good fit for your child. What does that really do for your child? Again, you can always join us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. And how do you go about selecting a non-scholastic program for your child? A non-scholastic program for your child. You know, there's some criteria. There has to be a criteria established, parents, because if you don't establish that criteria, then your child's going to go with he or she knows, and that's just to be on the team with their friends. You know, do you look at any off-season skill development? Do you look at any, you know, whether or not the team has, this coach has a winning program? Does this coach have a name that's noted in your community? You know, does this coach give out, you know, a gym bag with all the amenities in there? You know, you got a pair of shoes in there. You got some slides in there. You got some headbands. You got, you know, whatever else in there, all with brand name stuff. Is that's what you're looking for? What is the criteria or when you're selecting a non-scholastic program, because that is something that we as parents have to take into consideration. And once again, that's something that we have to guide them towards making the right decision or making the best decision. You know, we have to guide them in making the best decision, because oftentimes if we don't, they're going to do what they think is best. And if it doesn't turn out to be the right thing, then, you know, think about it. If they're not of that age where they're able to get around on their own, then we have invested a whole lot of time in a situation that was not beneficial for our child. I'm going to share with you, you know, some of the things that I took into consideration during the time I was looking at a non-scholastic program for my child. And one thing I looked at was, who is this coach? And is this just another dad that has put together this team in order to give his child some playing time because his child wasn't getting enough playing time at the high school level. We've all seen that. We've all seen the old daddy ball where they decided to put together a team and now their child is out there getting plenty of time on this team because dad is the coach. May not be the best possible fit or may not be the best player for that particular time and that particular situation, but dad is the coach, so their child will get a chance to play. So is that a great situation? So that's one of the things that I looked at. And one of the first teams that did approach me about my son playing was a team similar to those lines. And it's funny because when I first went out to the practice, you know, the coach told me that somebody else was going to come out and assist him in coaching. And I went out there, and this coach was out there, and he was out there, and I noticed that, you know, he was giving some direction, and I respected that coach because that coach had a high school program, and he was moving forward with his high school program. In other words, he was helping kids move on with their life. So as a result, I said, okay, all right. So that was the first practice. Next practice, I noticed that the coach wasn't there. But again, that coach's son wasn't there. So I figured, hey, something may have came up and they couldn't make it, whatever, because I know he was coming from another town. Got around to the third practice, and I'm looking again, and I noticed the coach's son is there. His wife showed up. But for whatever reason, the coach wasn't there. All right. I even let that go. We went to play the first set of games one weekend. Coach sent us information. The other coach, the coach that was the dad, daddy coach, he sent us the information and said, hey, you know, I need everybody to show up X, Y, Z, whatever time, whatever. And if one of the kids didn't have a ride, because somebody help get the kids down to the location. I said, okay, fine, no problem. If anybody need a ride, let me know. I'll give whoever a ride, you know, as far as I can fit as many in my car. No problem. That's easy. So, turn around and got down there. I'm thinking that, okay, the high school coach is going to be there. And he's going to, you know, kind of like keep an eye on things or help us move forward. Once again, I got down there and coach wasn't there. So now at this time, I'm scratching my head. I'm questioning some things. I'm like, okay, there's a problem here. Because once again, you know, the coach was playing his child, and not to say he was playing his child over mine, you know, but he was playing his child in situations where there were other kids on the team that I think could have filled that gap a little bit better. All well, fine and dandy. So I kept an eye on that. And then when it was time for us to step away from that, we stepped away from that. And later on, another team came about and I had to see, okay, who's coaching? What's going on? You know, and if it wasn't for someone else that I respected in the game to come along and say, hey, this is one of my teams. Overseeing this team. We're just testing this team out to see what's what. I probably would have stepped away from that one as well because I didn't know anything about those coaches. You know, I think they were somebody's assistant on somebody's bench, but, you know, they did a whole lot of fast talking and less teaching, you know, and I really couldn't see them doing a whole lot of teaching because, in my opinion, and this is something else that really gets me, you know, you can talk to an athlete about what you think he or she should be doing, but if you can't demonstrate it, what you want them to do, then there's a problem for me. If you're a coach and you can't demonstrate, or you don't have someone to demonstrate exactly what you want them to do, there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a problem. Or if you want to restrict their play because they have a skill that can do X, Y, or Z, but you want them to do some basic stuff because you want the play to go towards another child, then once again, that's another problem. Folks, hey, you want to join in on the conversation? 516-453-9932. Look like here on the air. Area code 973. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network. Area code 973. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network. Yet, did you have a question or a comment?
Hi, Mike. This is Jackie Gibbs of Parents and Athletes Connection. And, you know, thanks for just the topic. It's a great topic. And some of the things that you were saying are exactly right. I know we have, as you know, we have three basketball players, successful basketball players that have started as kids and onto the professional level. And some of the things that you stated that parents should be looking at are exactly what me and my husband, it's my husband more than myself at that point, was looking at. And I think we, because we kind of balance each other, I was looking at the, is the person or is the coach a good person? And he was looking at the skill set of that person. So you really have to look at the totality of the coaches, especially the one that's leading the organization, because if the leader is doing all the things that you just described, you know, making sure that the kids know the fundamentals, is there at practices, pushing the kids, wanting them to know how to do things correctly, then all the other coaches that are working with him or her are going to do the same. So it really is, you know, are they a good person? You know, do they have the best interest of the children first? Do they have successful athletes, or have they been able to lead those that are in their program to the next step of whatever they're trying to reach? So if they're starting out and now they're starting and they're getting better and you see progress, and then, you know, what is your definition of success as a parent? What are you looking for in making sure that that coach is going to be able to provide that? And then, like you said, the consistency, because, you know, with everything, you have to continue to work at it and you have to be consistent. So that's kind of my thoughts about what you were talking about, the non-scholastic programs for your children. And we've been through it all. So if you have any questions for me, parents, I'd love to help you.
Yes, yes, yes. And folks, this is a wealth of knowledge that we have on here, Parents and Athletes Connection, coming to you from the northeastern corner of the United States. And trust me, that is another valuable, valuable, valuable asset in our communities that have shared some information. You know, and as I think about that, you know, just selecting a non-scholastic program, you know, some people think, oh, well, and I'm going to use a program from your area, the Gauchos. You know, that was another big name program that, say again?
Well-known, yes.
Yes, yes, big name, and it's a well-known program. And, you know, but one thing that I want to say about the Gauchos, and I could have said that about any, I could have used a program here like Boo Williams' program or Team Loaded, who all of a sudden just popped up over the last few years. Or I think there's another team out of Houston, the Houston Heat, and the Florida, I forgot the name of that team, Florida Flames or something like that. There was another couple other teams that's out there that are well-known. There's a team out of Chicago that's well-known. But all these teams, you know, just as if we look at a college program. That's the name of the team. That doesn't necessarily mean that if they have the same coaches every year and coaches are doing the same thing every year, skill development, working with the kids, making sure that the kids are moving forward or are the kids are getting better and better each year, or are they just going to practice and scrimmaging? You know, don't base it just based upon a name. Based upon what you know about that program and those individuals that are leading that program. You know, sad to say that one of the biggest programs that has had major success over the years is a program called DC Assault. And I remember those young men from, you know, during the time that my son was playing. And the gentleman that ran that program, I think he's still incarcerated because somehow they tagged him, labeled him, and said that he was heavily involved in the D.C. drug trade industry, and it turned into a very bad situation. So you have to be able to do your homework, folks, to see what's going on with these various programs and not just roll upon a name of the program. You know, we're down to about, oh, wow, our last couple minutes here in the program. Parents and Athletes Connection, give us some more information on how folks can reach out to you if they want to connect with what you have going on as well.
Sure. So you can join us. We are on every third Sunday of the month. You can reach us on our website at PAC Sports. That's PAACSPORTS, PACSports.com. You can see all of our athletes, and we are a resource for parents and athletes to provide information, guidance, and support as, you know, you go through this time during your athlete of growing and succeeding in whatever sport. So we're not just a basketball, we're football, we've tracked hockey, and we come together and share information in hopes that we can help you in your journey and in your athlete's journey to success. So look us up and join us. We'd love for you to join us and be a member of PAC, and let us help you if we can.
All right. Well, hey, we thank you for joining in on the conversation today, and I seen a few other folks that was here on the line with us, but I guess they didn't have any questions or want to share anything. They just wanted to listen on. But, hey, we appreciate that all so well. You know, before I let you go, do you have a conference call this evening, or was that last week?
Yeah, it's passed for this month, but again, the third Sunday of the month, so we'll be on next month.
All right. Thank you.
Coming in November.
Okay. Well, folks, hey, this has been another great show. You had another wonderful guest that joined in and chimed in and gave you a different, basically just capitalized on what I was saying and shared some greater insight to selecting a non-scholastic program. Folks, it's vitally important that we as parents stay involved in that process, because at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to help our children reach their own personal level of success. We must be their biggest advocates. We have to. That's not an optional thing. We have to be in their corner day in and day out to help them reach their own personal levels of success. Folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. This is M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach Parents Network. We'll see you again next Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. Where you at, Keith? Take us out.